How great is our God? And that's the theme of Christmas, isn't it? The greatness of the God is seen. The greatness of the God is revealed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we continue to pray that at this time, that those conversations that you have with family, neighbours and friends, that God will undertake. And I pray that he will give you the very words just to simply share with others, that and God's Spirit will bring and bear fruit in their hearts and lives, that he will grant them understanding that they need a saviour. We are all sinners and we need a saviour, but the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save people like you and people like me. Well, we're in Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, and our text this morning is found in verse 6. I'll read it for you. It's a very simple text. It's on your calendars. If you have a calendar, a 2020 calendar at home, this is the text. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. That's what it says on the calendar. Of course, if we look in our Bibles, there's also just a little bit later, a little bit at the end of that text, which says, what can man do to me? And we're going to consider this verse together. Often when we drive through the beacons from our home in Merthyr Tydfil, we drive and before us is the great expanse of these beacons. And we see that Penavan's there in all its splendour and all its glory. And I can think of a number of psalms, but Psalm 121 readily springs to mind. You know, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? Asks the psalmist. And then he answers that question. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you know, for the psalmist, he was thinking of those occasions when people would go up to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the various feasts. And yet the imposing hills, what lay amongst those imposing hills? Well, they were a symbol of uncertainty. Were bandits waiting to rob them? Were wild beasts lurking to attack them? And so the psalmist in Psalm 121, when he looks to what's in front of him, and he looks to the hills, he lifts up his eyes to the hills, and the hills there are full of uncertainty. Where does my help come from? And maybe this morning that you try and look to tomorrow and this coming week, and all you see are those problems and those mountains and those difficulties. All you see are obstacles to overcome. And maybe you sat at home this morning thinking, wow, where's my help come from? Who's going to help me through these difficulties? Who's going to help me through the perplexities of life? But for the Christian this morning, even though there are struggles, even though there are trials and temptations, even though there are uncertainties, because we're not immune to the uncertainties and the perplexities of life. However, for the believer this morning, we can say, as our text tells us, that the Lord is the one who helps me. The Lord is my helper. And you see that there, that this verse is found in a chapter at the end of a letter that is encouraging God's people to live lives in a certain manner, in a certain way. Let me explain. Right up until this chapter in Hebrews 13, the writer is encouraging these Hebrew believers, is encouraging them to focus on what God has done, how God speaks, how God communicates, how God graciously gives us all things to enjoy. So right at the beginning of this letter, he reminds them, and we touched on this a couple of Sundays ago when we looked at how God speaks. But here we have, through this letter, is what we call biblical doctrine. The writer is unpacking for these Hebrew believers. He's unpacking for them something of the wonder of what God has done through and in the new covenant. And so he's showing them something of the sacrificial system which God instituted in the Old Testament, if the terms of a covenant, how man can approach God. Well, we can only approach God through a sacrifice, and we can only approach God through the priesthood. But then the writer here helpfully unpacks the terms of the new covenant. Remember Jesus on the night he was betrayed, when he'd given thanks, he broke the bread, and he said this. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then he said, this is my blood shed for you. And in this cup, this is the cup, if you like, of the new covenant. You see, within the renewed covenant, in the new covenant, you see, the blood of bulls and goats can never take away or erase your sin or my sin. And endlessly, the high priest and other priests would endlessly offer animal sacrifices over and over and over again. But this sacrifice, God's spotless lamb, the Lamb of God, as we've been singing about this morning, his blood was shed, his life was given once for all. And so there's no need for an altar in our church this morning. Why? Because Calvary was the altar. Calvary was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. His blood shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Do you see that? So if Jesus Christ had not come, if he'd not entered time, if he'd not been born of a virgin, if Christ had not come into this world, then you and I would be living today with no hope. There'd be no hope. But Christ, by coming, by going to the cross, by laying down his life, and he laid down his life. I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to take it up again. But through his life, death, and resurrection, then we have hope. And that's why Christmas is significant, because it's the coming of a Saviour, of the promised Christ, of the promised Messiah, the one that was spoken of throughout years and the ages past. But now, in these last days, God speaks to us through his Son. And so, all the way through this letter, he's putting in place, he's teaching biblical doctrine, doctrine that is crucial and foundational for a believer to actually stand on. And so once the biblical doctrine is being put in place, once there's a foundation, then the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then the writer to these Hebrew believers talks about, that's the doctrine. Now we stand on that doctrine. We stand on that truth. Now this is how we are to live. And so these verses in chapter 13 talks about let love and love for each other continue. It talks about hospitality. It talks about purity. It talks about that we have, now that we are children of God, you know, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, now we have their privileges, their blessings, but with blessing and with privilege comes responsibility. As a believer, you are called to live a life ultimately for the honor and glory of God. And we have to be very careful in what we say. We need to be very careful in how we think. And we need to be very careful in what we do. That's why it's essential. What shapes our thinking? God's word will shape our thinking. You see, sometimes, because of our sinfulness, we are prone to spend so much time devoting our minds and our thoughts to things that are often unhelpful. And, you know, it can be very gradual and it can be very subtle. But we can be sidetracked. I can become sidetracked. I can be taken up. I may have a bee in my bonnet about something, or I might get on my hobby horse. And it can be a huge distraction from what God calls me to be. Now, we need to know the context before we can look at the text. Okay? God calls me to love in a way that he loves. Well, how can I do that? The Lord is my helper. See the point? He calls me to think as he thinks. Well, how can I do that? The Lord is my helper. He calls me to forgive as he forgives me. How can I do that? The Lord is my helper. He calls me to show mercy as mercy has been shown to me. How can I do that? The Lord is my helper. He calls me to confess all known sin. He calls me to give an account, to keep a short account. He calls me to submit and to honour those that God has placed in authority over my life in the local church. How can I do that? The Lord is my helper. You see, if the Lord is not my helper, then what will happen is I will quickly drown under the pressure of trying to live a life that I can't live. But I can live because our text tells us, for the believer, we can say, the Lord is my helper. I am able to say no to sin and to temptation because the Lord is my helper. I am able to stand for truth because the Lord is my helper. I am able to be the husband and father and grandfather or the pastor or the elder or the preacher that he calls me to be because the Lord is my helper. Otherwise, if I was to sit on a Monday morning and make a list of all the things that I need to do and then make a list of all the expectations that not only God has of me, but people has of me, then I'd be on a quick road to a nervous breakdown. But I am able to be the man of God or the woman of God. We are able to be the people God wants us to be. Because the Lord is my helper. I can live a pure life. I can refrain from sexual immorality. Why? Not because of me, but the Lord is my helper. He enables me. He helps me. And he strengthens me. Now, the other thing is this, that often people are gripped with fear. And our text tells us this, that if the Lord is our helper, then we will not fear. Why? Because our hope and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Interestingly, because we need to do this, when we try to unpack a text, we firstly ask ourselves the question, what does this text mean in its context, in the context of this chapter? What does this chapter mean in the context of this letter? And we've done that very briefly. What does this letter mean in the context of the New Testament? And then how do we understand the New Testament in the light of the Old Testament? It's interesting that if we to compare Scripture with Scripture, so if we go to somewhere like, I don't know, Psalm 118, verse 6. Now, what we have here in Hebrews 13, verse 6, it is not a quote from Psalm 118, but the sentiment and the truth is restated. So the psalmist is saying in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Or we could go to to Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He is the helper, the stronghold. He is the one who strengthens. He is the one who equips. He is the one who enables me to stand. Of whom shall I be afraid? Do you see that? And so Psalm 121 is another classic example. What we see here is that the psalmist and the people of God in the past have been able to testify that the Lord God, Almighty God, has been their helper, their sustainer. He is the one who has been the restorer of their soul. And because they've come to know him, he is my helper, he is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my deliverer, he is my light, he is my salvation. Do you see the point? It's personal. It's my helper. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever thought that for us, insignificant people like us, can be, as it was said of Abraham of old, we can be a friend of God. Amazing. He's more than a friend, isn't he? We sometimes sing, do we not? What a friend we have in Jesus. He's more than a friend. He's my Lord. He's my God. And he is the one who sent his eternal, only begotten Son, who was willing to die for me. It's personal. So we could say with Isaiah of old that the Lord, he's our God. He is mine. And I am his. Not for time, but forever. Do you see that? His heart, his love, his care, his affection, his devotion for you and for me. And of course, also in these preceding verses to our text and also a couple of verses that follow, the writer is showing these believers, these Hebrew believers, the secret of contentment. And I wonder this morning, do we know and enjoy the secret of contentment? You see, if we say, as our text says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Then in that moment, at that point, we're content. Because we're not striving, we're not trying, we're content because we are resting. We are trusting in the one who is able to help, save, secure, sustain, keep. Do you see that? Resting. Contentment. Psalm 23, verse 1. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know that verse? Boys and girls, if you're watching, say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. So David knew the Lord in a personal way. I shall not want. I'm content. And sadly, there are Christians that I know who don't enjoy this contentment. And if you're not content, then actually life becomes hard. Life becomes more stressful than it already is. And if we're not content, then actually we are missing out on the reality and the nearness of God at work in your life and in my life. You see, he is not only our helper, he is the source of our joy. But we can lose that joy like that. Do you know how? By doing the things that in chapter 13, in these opening verses, that we are reminded not to do. Ignoring those who perhaps are in want, ignoring those in need, ignoring the opportunity that God presents to us in showing hospitality, in opening your home. Now, I know it's difficult because there are guidelines and restrictions and we need to be careful. But there will be an opportunity in the near future when we can open our homes. Often, it's sad that Christians are reluctant to share their homes and their hearts with others. All that you have is his. And I remember when we moved from Neath to Merthyr, and we were it was a lovely little home in Neath, but it was small. And one of the things that Viv and I prayed for, Lord, if you just gave us a little bit more space, we'll use this space for your glory. Be careful what you pray, because he gave us space. But it's not our home, it's his home. And all that we have is his. And he wants us to use it. So it talks about showing hospitality. And I'm not claiming this morning, don't misunderstand me, I'm not claiming that through serving the Lord and through living the Lord and enjoying his help and trusting in him and knowing the hope of all that he offers and provides, I'm not saying for a moment that we have entertained angels. But we have been given the opportunity and the privilege to show hospitality to believers from all over the world. Well, in Merthyr Tydfil, absolutely. Because God is the God of the nations. And if we take him at his word, and we depend on him, and we trust in him, and we know him to be our helper, then actually, with all that's going on in the world, I need not fear. I'm not afraid. Because I know the one who is sovereign. I know the one who's in control of all things. However, that's not an excuse to live as I want and to live casually and to be inconsiderate to those around us. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God be for me, says Paul, who can be against me? In actual fact, in Peter's letter that he was writing to those dispersed Christians who were really suffering because of their love and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, but you may well suffer for doing good. In the world's economy, in man's eyes, you may suffer. And we may suffer. And many Christians, sadly, throughout the world, even now as we're speaking, are suffering because of their love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. But I tell you this, this text is probably more real to them than it would be to us. Than in the face. You see, what concerns me is that God has graciously given us opportunities to come, to sit under his word, to feed on his word, to feed and to listen to gospel ministry and to come and pray together, albeit it's via Zoom. He gives us opportunities to come. We've got an opportunity tonight to come, and we've got an opportunity next week to come, and the week after, and soon after Christmas, those opportunities will increase to come. And there are brothers and sisters throughout the world, as we approach Christmas, who would love the opportunity to do what we're doing tonight. To do what we're doing now. They'd love to be able to have the full canon of Scripture at their disposal, which they could feed on, they could read, and they could just ponder and reflect and meditate on. And yet there are some Christians in parts of the world today, they have, in some cases, and I've read this, in some cases, they have just but a page of Scripture. And how often do we neglect His Word, which we have? We are so blessed. And so for many of our suffering brothers and sisters, this text would perhaps be far more meaningful to them than it could be to us. And that's a shame, isn't it? The Lord is my helper. Are you worshipping in there? Yes, we are. In some parts of the world today, that can lead to imprisonment and sometimes death. We don't have those restrictions here. Praise God. Let's make the most of the freedoms and liberties that we have. And let's say, as the writer says here, the Lord is my helper. I'm content because I have Him. And to have Him is everything. He provides, He cares, He equips, He strengthens. And even when we sleep, or even when we struggle, or even when we slip, He's still my helper. And He watches over us. And He cares for us. He leads us. And He takes us into paths of righteousness. Why? Ultimately, for His name's sake. Are you content this morning? You see, contentment is not found in a healthy bank balance. Contentment is not found in a nice house. Contentment is not found in regular holidays. Contentment is not found in leisure pursuits and activities. I have a friend who's all of a sudden, she's got involved in sailing. If you ever see her now on Facebook, she's sailing somewhere. Contentment is not found in sailing, or in golf, or in sport, or in dining out, or going to the pictures or cinema or whatever. I'm not saying that all those things are wrong, but if we're trying to find contentment in those things, then it is wrong. Because true contentment is found in God. Last Sunday night, that though He was rich for your sakes, for the love of you, He became poor, that you might be rich towards God. That you might have an inheritance. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where they're secure. Wow. But as we saw, I think it was yesterday's Advent calendar. And I have to say, again, I put you're enjoying them. Was it yesterday, the Christmas pudding? Oh, you know, all day long, I just felt like having a Christmas pudding. Rosemary, it was excellent talk. And all the talks have been great. I've not yet had a chance to see yours today, Sylvia. But they've all been great. I've enjoyed them all. But the treasure, it's not found in a sixpence in the middle of a pudding, is it? Rosemary reminded us, Christ is the ultimate treasure. Life in Him. So that you can say, the Lord is my helper. And whilst I might be concerned of the future, I might be. Because I don't know the future. But the Lord's my helper. I don't have to be afraid. Because who is the Lord? Look at verse 8. He is the same Lord of yesterday. He is the same Lord today. He's the same Lord tomorrow. So that's why I can read of all that God did through His people in the Old Testament, all that God did through His people in the New Testament, Because it's the same God. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're thinking of the incarnation, aren't we? Right? This is the second Sunday of Advent. Incarnation. What is a fabulous little study that you can do is to go back before Bethlehem. Go back into the Old Testament and look. And I know some of the ladies are looking at Old Testament prophecies. But look at those verses and passages of Scripture where the pre-incarnate Jesus shows up. Well, that's a great study in itself. See, Bethlehem, Jesus, the everlasting Word, became flesh, born of a virgin. Hey, there's a lot of fear in the Christmas story. There's a lot of fear throughout Scripture. But ultimately, when God speaks into our hearts, when God comes and speaks into our situations, fear is diminished. He reminds us, like he is this morning, I'm your helper. I'm your Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your God. But all that they went through, all that they were able to prove God through, so can we. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we have a propensity to wander. We have a propensity to sin. We have a propensity to do what we want to do. And God is very gracious in forgiving us. But oh, the joy. Have you lost the joy of knowing God? Have you lost the joy of contentment in him? Have you lost the joy of walking with him and living for him and doing the things that he wants us to do? For my liking, there are too many joyless Christians around. Why is that? Often, and we know from Scripture, we have examples in Scripture, often it's because of sinful attitudes and sinful hearts and sin that is just there festering, not being dealt with and not coming in repentance and confession and saying, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me afresh. What did David of old say? Lord, he prayed, he cried out to God, be merciful to me. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, at the end of the day, if we know this God, if we know this Saviour, the one who took on flesh, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. And the sinless Son of God was willing to bear my sin in his body on the tree. He was willing to suffer the judgment for my sin. He took upon himself my sin. He owned it as if it was his own. It wasn't. But there he died, condemned in my place. He was my substitute. He did, when he walked this earth, he did what, sadly, we try to do but can't do. I see people do it all the time. Even I fall into that same trap. He did what we can't do. He lived a sinless and perfect life. And we mess up. Why? Because we're sinful. We have a sinful nature. We're by nature, we're rebels towards God. And so there's, even as a Christian, we're still battling with sin. The old man warring within us. But we can say, when we fix our focus and our trust and our faith in him and know him, stay close to him, we draw near to him, he draws near to us. The Lord's my helper. He helps me. I won't be afraid. I won't fear. He's my helper. He sustains, he equips, he nurtures, he leads, he guides. He listens, he rebukes, he's my helper. The word helper here literally means to run. He is the one who runs to our aid The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, comes alongside. And the reality is, not only comes alongside, but those who repent of their sins and exercise faith in Him, the Lord Jesus, the only Saviour, then the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And He becomes King of our hearts, King of our lives. Where is He that was born King of the Jews? Was the question asked. Where is Jesus? Where are you in relation to this King Jesus this morning? Can you say, the Lord, this King Jesus is my helper? I will not fear. And if He is my helper, He is my King, He is my Lord, He is my Saviour, then what can man do to me? Because I am safe in His hands. I'm safe in his arms. I am safe in His presence. And I experience His peace, His joy. I am content in Him. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I pray that that will be your testimony this Christmas. Pray that will be your ongoing testimony beyond Christmas and into the future and into eternity. And that one day we'll all be gathered together with Him and we'll reign with Him. King Jesus, the Lord who's our helper, and we'll be with Him forever and ever. Let's close.